Lots of comedians have made the jump to movies, and lots of comedians have dealt with grief in their comedy. But fewer have made their first movie about grief. With his new film, Dean, comedian Dimitri Martin is doing just that. He calls it a comedy about a tragedy with autobiographical roots. In it, the title character, Dean, is an illustrator in New York who has recently lost his mother. His father, played by Kevin Kline, is trying to move forward from the loss of his wife, attempting to sell their family home.
I'm going to talk to you about some news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sell the house.
What are you talking about?
I'm selling the house.
You're just out of the blue going to sell our house?
It's not out of the blue. I've given it some thought. Okay? I can't live there. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense for me to stay there. It's too big.
It's too big?
Yeah.
Could you just, like, not use all the rooms or something? Maybe you could, like, I don't know, cover up the furniture in some of the rooms with sheets. Just don't go in there.
Like I'm a countess?
I don't know. I just think this is hasty.
Martin stopped by our studios recently when he was in town presenting the movie at the Phoenix Film Festival, and I asked him how he made this transition from comedy to grief when people know him best as a comedian.
I know myself mostly as a comedian. I spend most of my time writing jokes and telling them, and specifically jokes usually. I'm not even really telling personal stories on stage. But over the years, I've had some ideas and I realized, you know, that's not really a joke. That could work as a drawing, or that could work as a short story, or maybe as a movie. And it was a while ago when I first thought, I'd like to try to make movies. I think that would be exciting. Certainly it would be a challenge. So I set out to do that, and I started with this one. It's my first, and it's a lot more personal than my stand-up. I think for me, part of it was, hey, this is a different medium, and it lends itself to a certain kind of intimacy that's different than the stage. So let me lean into that and see what I can come up with. So I started, no surprise, with something very autobiographical. Even though the movie's fiction, it's based on my experiences, you know, as a person. Like, I've dealt with loss and grief. It's been some years now, but my dad passed away when I was 20, and he was 46. He was young. His name was Dean, so that's why I named the movie Dean. So for me, there was some extra meaning to the story I was telling. However, the story is fiction. It's nothing in there that's from my life directly, but emotionally, there's tons in there from what I've dealt with and what my family's dealt with.
Yeah. So, I mean, you wrote the film, right? But this is also your directorial debut. So yeah. I wonder, what made you want to take on that role as well? Like, why didn't you want to hand over the reins to somebody else who's directed this before?
For a couple of reasons I wanted to direct. The first was I thought it would be fun, and it really seemed like a great opportunity to, I guess you could say, translate my sense of humor into another medium, to have that kind of creative control to tell the story the way I wanted to tell it. Secondly, probably as a defense mechanism in a weird way, because I knew that I'd have control of the edit, so I could really tell my story and have the control I wanted to creatively to the end. So I figured, hey, maybe I can protect myself because, I don't know, this is personal and emotional and, you know, I'm finding my footing here as a storyteller. And it turned out I loved directing. I liked that. I wasn't confused or unsure of myself. I made some mistakes, but I wasn't lost on the set. It wasn't like everyone was standing there looking at me like, what is this idiot doing? You know, it was pretty good. The producing part was very difficult. I didn't like that. And that was, you know, we lost the location for tomorrow. I'm like, what? This is what kept me up at night, especially these small movies. You know, you're like in a dinghy. It's like a tiny little boat, and you're just trying to not fall out of it. A big movie seems like a battleship or a cruise ship. You know, it's smoother sailing. It's probably harder to turn it. You know, you got all these people you got to deal with politically. This, I was free to move, but I felt like I was going to get tossed out of it. It was terrible.
So I wonder, though, like, how do you, and I've wondered this many times before because you're not the first actor to also be the director of a film that you're in. How do you direct yourself? How does that work?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. There's a lot of hubris involved, as you can imagine, saying, hey, I wrote this and turns out I'm perfect for the lead character and I'm going to direct it. Yeah, hooray for me. It's very self-involved. It's hard because especially when you don't have a lot of time to shoot each scene, we only had a few takes for each setup. So I have a choice. I can stop after each take or every couple of takes and watch playback to see, did I do it okay? Am I pointed in the right direction, whatever I think I'm looking for? Or I can fly blind and say, I'm going to do more takes and get an actual flow going to this scene and not worry about it so much and trust how it feels, and then we'll see in the edit how it looks. So I ended up leaning more towards the second of those two options. I started more towards the first, but I found that it seemed disrespectful to the people I was sharing the scene with often, especially like Kevin Kline. I didn't want to keep stopping and checking myself. Let's get a flow going here. Let's act. Let's get this thing to work. Let's find our chemistry. And yeah, you know, there were some unpleasant surprises in the edit and some pleasant ones, but I could rewrite the movie, as they say. You know, they say you write it three times when you write it in the script form, when you shoot it, and then when you edit it. So I really liked post-production. You have this other chance in editing to kind of save yourself.
One of the things that I really loved about this movie that was so unique about it was this sort of almost like multimedia aspect to it, right, with Dean's drawings.
Yeah.
And you've used drawings throughout your career. I know lots of your stand-up with the large pad. And I think that using those split screens, right, where his drawings were sort of add to the scene or like explain something that's going on in Dean's head that you wouldn't know otherwise, it adds a really cool dimension, and I wonder where that idea came from.
Yeah, so I do like to draw. When it came time to make a movie, my first thought was, hey, I should make my character an illustrator. It's something I do for fun. And I have published a book of drawings, but I don't think I count as an illustrator. I'm a comedian. But I thought, instead of being a comedian or an actor or something like that, why don't I make him an illustrator? And all these drawings I have in my notebooks from over the years, I could start with some of those and they could populate the movie. I have this nice real estate on a movie screen. I can use some of it to show this interior life and have this almost quiet parallel narrative happening that shows you a window into what he's going through and, you know, what he's dealing with. So it worked out pretty nicely, because when I got to the edit, there were these surprise moments where I didn't have a drawing planned, but looking at the assembly of the movie, I thought, well, right there, that feels rhythmically like I should put a drawing there. I don't know what it is, but I'll come up with one that'll go there. And then maybe one over here a couple minutes later. And geez, I don't have a transition from this scene to that one, but a drawing might save me. Mm-hmm. So I could even kind of save myself some of the mistakes I made as a first-time director. I could remedy them with drawings, which was cool.
So, I mean, this is, you described it as a tragedy and a comedy, right? Somewhere in the middle, or a comedy about a tragedy.
Yeah.
But it has a lot of heart. Really, this is about sort of overcoming grief and love. So I wonder, what kind of message do you want people to take away when they see the movie?
Yeah, for me, I think that in my experience, and I could say my family's experience, grief is very personal, which is to say it's very individual, it's very different for each of us, even if we're dealing with the loss of the same person. I found that you grieve at your own pace and you don't have a lot of choice in the matter. So I don't know if there is a big takeaway, but maybe it's a story about empathy in a way. It's a father and son story, but ultimately it's just about being vulnerable and maybe thinking a little bit beyond yourself. I mean, I don't know if that's the message of the movie, but when I think about the father and son who are trying to reconnect and just the idea that as terrible as it is to lose someone, I don't know, in my life, if there's been any benefit, it does open your heart a little bit if you let it, for better or worse. You hurt a little bit more, but maybe you're a little bit more empathetic and you recognize your vulnerability, not necessarily as a weakness, but maybe it's a strength, especially when it comes to connecting with other people and maybe specifically those who love you and who you love. You know, again, if you lose someone, who's left? You know, what's our relationship now? Whoever's listening is gonna be like, wow, this movie sounds hilarious. I'm not really selling what's funny about the movie here, but I think it's part of this experiment for me as a comedian is to wade into water that I'm not really comfortable with and to see, you know, what I can find in there.
All right, Dimitri Martin, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Dean opens in theaters today.